Our reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, to be found on page 1201 in the Pew Bibles, or Church Bibles, and later continuing in chapter 10 on page 1208. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And continuing in chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Richard. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible, your words, and we ask now that as we meditate on it together, that you would help us, our roots in you, to go deep into the beautiful streams of living water, that we might be a strong, stable tree, as we were hearing a few weeks ago, Lord, in Psalm 1, that we would bear great fruit for you. Amen. Well, thank you very much for being here today and on the live stream as we look at God's word together. And, you know, to be honest, it is a particular blessing to see you people in church this morning, because I love to see your faces. I really do. I love you, and I know you love to see mine. So, you know, we're all happy this morning. You know, when I think back to preaching, and Dawn touched on this a bit, preaching and leading during lockdown, you know, although it was really great to connect together with Zoom and live stream, it was just such a blessing. But it was a bit like a one-way street, you know, with nothing coming the other direction. I miss so much seeing your faces and being with you. And as Dawn was saying, you know, watching from home as part of the congregation is also a blessing, but it was different. I felt I wasn't sort of contributing to the worship of God together just as I wanted to. Every week, all the contributions from all of us here are so important to our worship. During the sermon, for instance, you know, your expressions and your reactions make it. It just makes it so different, you know. I love to see, you know, some of you are really good at nodding and smiling. I love that. That's really good. David's very good at shaking his head, and I go, oh, no, what have I said? No, that's not true. And, you know, and when you look at your Bible and you check the verses to make sure that I'm being faithful to God's word, that's really, really encouraging. I love to look at the Bible together in church. Well, as David touched on, today we're continuing our sermon series on the disciplines of grace, as we've called it. Disciplines that, through, by God's grace, we can grow in godliness and become more like the Lord Jesus. And I don't know if you remember, but in the first week, David likened godliness to like spiritual fitness. And he, He said that the various spiritual disciplines are like gym equipment provided by our personal trainer, provided by Jesus, to help us get spiritually fit. And this week's gym equipment is worshipping together. But before we consider how worshipping together is such an important element of our spiritual fitness training, you know, let's just first reflect on the main reason we are here today. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you don't know why we come to worship God. But we come to worship him and thank and praise him for who he is, and also because of his great love for us, what he has done for us in and through the Lord Jesus. The short reading from the first reading, the beginning of Hebrews 1 that Richard read, reminds us that God is the creator. He is the sustainer of everything in the universe. He is almighty. He is sovereign. And then verses 2 and 3 of that reading tell us so is Jesus, because Jesus is the exact representation of God. We can know what God is like by looking at Jesus. And then in verse 3, the writer emphasizes that when he says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. That sitting down for kings meant that you were given the full majesty of the king as well. So Jesus is the mighty, mighty king. And sitting down at the right hand also shows us that Jesus has finished something, he's completed something. And what verse 3 of that reading tells us is that Jesus had sat down after he had provided purification for sins, which is a bit of a weird thing, a weird sentence, but it's a sort of shorthand way of saying what the gospel is, about what the good news of Jesus is. That Jesus, the King of the universe, left his glory in heaven to come and humble himself as a human being and to die for us on the cross. To die on the cross to purify, purification, to wash, to forgive our sins, the things we've done wrong, our rebellion against God. Jesus has completed the work of salvation, taking on the death penalty that you and I deserve because of our rebellion against God, saving us, rescuing us from destruction, making the way for us to be back in a relationship with God the Father forever. We worship God, we worship Jesus because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and also because of his amazing grace in saving us from eternal death for eternal life. And that in itself is reason for us to come together and worship God wholeheartedly with everything that we are, everything that we have. But there's more. Our passage from Hebrews 10 tells us that we don't worship God from a distance. We're not here with God somewhere out there, you know, in his heavenly dimension and us worshipping into some sort of a void. No. Verses 19 to 22 tell us that we can draw near to God. We can enter into God's presence. We can enter into the very throne room of the most holy of holies, the holy God, the holy, most holy place. And the writer in verse 19 says we can do that with confidence. How can we do that? How can we enter into the holy God's place with confidence? Again, because of Jesus, we can do that. When we submit to Jesus in faith and trust, when we believe that his perfect sacrifice for us on the cross has forgiven our rebellion, our sin, we can be certain that all the barriers between us and God have been removed. That's what a restored relationship with God means. He invites us right into his presence, the holiest of all places. We're not there yet physically. That amazing time will be when Jesus comes again, if we're Christians. But we are there fully, spiritually, in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because verse 20 tells us in our reading that Jesus has opened the way for us to do that. What a wonderful, what an awesome privilege that we can enjoy God's presence as we worship him. Not just on Sundays, because worship is a 24/7 commitment, but in terms of us worshiping together, what a motivation for us to come together as God's family, as we each bring our individual worship of Jesus and join it together to make it more glorious for him. Isn't that wonderful? That's the main reason we come on a Sunday to worship God together. But almost as important is that gym equipment. Let's return to that, provided by Jesus. Those disciplines of grace through which we can know Jesus more deeply and become like him. Worshipping together is a wonderful piece of the equipment provided by Jesus. You could almost say that he gives us the whole gym, actually, in this respect, because it includes some of those other disciplines, specific disciplines like, you know, prayer and Bible and the confession, which David said we're going to look at next week. The writer of Hebrews, he knows just how significant it is to worship together in this one place together. He exhorts, he urges in verse 25 that the Christians he was writing to should not stop meeting together. He urges them, don't stop meeting together. They needed the push because some of them appear to have stopped meeting together for worship because they were experienced some sort of opposition and persecution for following Jesus. They were thinking about going back to Judaism and leaving behind their Christian faith. That's why the writer of Hebrews, which is a letter to those Christians throughout the letter, that's why he gives so many references to the rituals of the Jewish religion and sort of shows evidence why Jesus is better in all respects. The writer knew that meeting together was a crucial way of upholding them and keeping them going in their faith, and that applies exactly to us as well. He knew that worshipping together was important in terms of holding unswervingly to the hope we have in Jesus, as he says in verse 23, and for encouraging each other to become more godly, to spur us towards love and good deeds, verse 24, looking more like Jesus, as I said, bearing good fruit for him. The reasons for us that might stop us coming to church to worship on a Sunday together will probably be different to those 2,000 years ago. But maybe they are hard circumstances for us that stop us coming. Maybe it's something else that's taking a higher priority for us on Sundays. Maybe we've just gone stale and we've forgotten the joy of being saved by Jesus. But the risk of drifting away from Jesus if we don't worship together is the same for us today as it was for them 2,000 years ago. And the writer to Hebrews, he says that we can all help each other to avoid that drift away, verse 25, by meeting together and encouraging each other. I've heard people say that they don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And, you know, that is true. You don't need a Christian community to know that Jesus has forgiven your sins. But there are a load of things that can't be experienced in private worship or in watching worship. God, in his wisdom, he has made us a family, a body, one body. And part of that is to worship him together. And as we do, as we worship him, we're spurred on, we're encouraged by each other, and then to open ourselves to be transformed by Jesus as that goes on. Do you know, if worshipping together can make Jesus look greater and more glorious, and at the same time make us more like him, I don't want to miss out on that. And I guess you don't either. I haven't really got any snappy headings for the next bit of the sermon, but we're going to look at some specific blessings now of worshipping together. And firstly, worshipping together helps us individually to keep our focus Godwards, to keep our eyes on Jesus. As verse 23 says, to keep unswervingly to the hope that we have, the hope we possess in Jesus. Sin and doubts muddy and muddle our hearts through the week. So joining together with all the other muddy and muddled hearts is essential on Sundays or whenever we meet together. Essential for hearing the truth, essential for singing the truth, and so on. Knowing and hearing that the people that we are coming together with have the same challenges, but also knowing that they've come to worship together to worship God because they know that will provide God-focused reassurance for their faith and confidence in their faith. That then is a great personal encouragement for us as we live out our faith in the week ahead, and then we come back and do it again the following week. Sometimes worshipping together will result in God speaking right into our situation right now. God's going to do that for someone here today, no doubt. Maybe it's through the sermon, maybe it's through the prayers, maybe it's through songs, maybe it's just because we're here. It may be an immediate healing of a situation in your life today because you are here and hearing from God, because you're amongst his people, being encouraged by each other. Maybe that wouldn't have happened if we'd stayed at home. That healing, that encouragement, that assurance could come from a conversation sparked by the sermon, for instance, that others have just heard too. That's something I love about Lifetime, our evening service, where we regularly spend time as part of the service, after the sermon, you know, maybe sharing a testimony, maybe something from that sermon or from another sermon previously, something where we've, you know, we share what's going on in our lives and how God is working. It's so easy to underestimate how precious worshipping together is. We can far too easily forget that God has provided us with a family to worship with. You know, sometimes it is other priorities on a Sunday. Sometimes it's tiredness. And sometimes I just don't feel like it this morning. These things can tempt us to say, I'll give church a miss this week. But when we come to worship together like this, well, we don't regret it. We can't regret it. The writer of Psalm 73 is part of the Old Testament, which comes before Jesus' time. And he gives us if you've got Bibles, church Bible, it's 587 if you want to look it up. While I'm looking at it, but it's a great psalm. It's a great example here where the writer recounts that he was in a bad place spiritually. He says in verse 2, he says, you know, my feet had almost slipped. I'd nearly lost my foothold. He'd nearly lost his faith in God. And he goes on in the psalm to say that, you know, he's confused. He's got doubts about God's justice and about what's going on in the world. Things seem unfair. And in verse 16 he says, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. And then in verse 17 he says, till I entered the sanctuary of God. He joined with others to worship together. He's reassured in his faith, so much so that by verse 25 he's recounted again how he's worshipping God again in confidence, where he says, this wonderful verse, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I decide besides you. Verse 28, but as for me, it is good to be near God. It's a great example. Have a read of Psalm 73 when you get home. It is a brilliant, brilliant psalm. Worshipping God together helps us to keep our focus individually Godwards on Jesus. Another blessing is that worshipping together trains us in joy in the Lord, to help us to enjoy God. And singing together is a major factor here. You know, our early activity, you know, David singing alone, his belief in what he was singing was real. But that added encouragement and the singing and the actions and everybody taking part increased his joy in God, in Jesus, and enhanced his worship. Now, I know that was an activity, but that's what really happens when we worship together. Joy in Jesus can be encouraged by the contribution of others as we worship him wholeheartedly ourselves. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then uses that for God's glory and for our blessing. It is just amazing. God is so brilliant and so gracious in giving us each other. Meeting together can bring joy in the Lord for other reasons. In the last couple of weeks, I've been really privileged to experience this particularly. A couple of weeks back, I was coming into church through the door there, and I saw someone who hadn't been in church for ages, and we walked down together and came into church. And my heart was full of joy, and I was so thankful to Jesus that this person was back in church. It was such a great encouragement. And then last week at the family service, got out of the car and I said to Ailey, look, there's X and Y. We haven't seen them for ages. It was such an encouragement. And then last week at communion, last week at Lifetime, we had communion. And I came up and took the bread and wine and I sat down and I watched my family and Jesus each come up, taking the bread and wine, our family together, remembering Jesus, our family in Jesus, remembering what he's done for us. And it was such a great blessing. I thought, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be part of this family. So much, such a deep joy. Each of us is an essential part of Jesus's body, and we all have something to contribute as we worship him together. There's something missing when you're not here. When we're together, our presence, our singing, our interactions, they fill us with joy in the Lord, because we're all here together for the same reason, to worship him. And coming together to worship together heightens our joy in the Lord also, as we anticipate what is to come, that certain hope when Jesus returns in glory. When we think about that, when we sing that together, it just magnifies our awe and our adoration of God. Worshipping together helps us to enjoy God. And then one or two other blessings of worshipping together. First of all, it builds our fellowship, it builds our community to practice, as it says in verse 24, to practice love and good deeds. We're just coming together, knowing that it's going to encourage each of us to know Jesus more deeply. That's a way of demonstrating our love for each other as the family of Jesus. Jesus commanded us to love each other, and this is a great example. Just come and show our love for each other by being here together. Conversations after the service over a coffee. We're going to start coffee again after Easter, again, which would be great. Those conversations after, you know, after the service, where maybe we talk about the sermon and people start to open up, and it draws out a need that you would not have known about if you'd not been here, a need that maybe you know how to help with, maybe to help with yourself. And worshipping together is a great public statement. It's a great witness for the Lord Jesus. Our regular attendance reminds us how important it is to worship. It reminds us how important it is to each other. And it communicates that importance to those we know, our friends, our families who are not Christians. Because it shows we choose church over other things. We choose Jesus. We choose worshiping with our family over other things. For those of us who are parents, for those of us who have responsibility for children, it's good to ask ourselves, what sort of a model do we give to our younger generations? Is our example about priority on Sunday, commitment, our joy in corporate worship, is it a good one? Does our contribution, our involvement in the service, does it show how we are receiving and growing in the Lord Jesus through this discipline of grace, worshipping together? Jesus has brought for us on the cross eternal life, and he's made us to be a family. He deserves our wholehearted worship individually and together as his family. Worshipping together is a wonderful discipline of grace. We should never undervalue the importance of coming together to worship Jesus together and open ourselves to be transformed by him. Your attendance, your contribution in person, is a vital factor in helping someone to hold fast, helping someone to be spurred on, helping someone to be encouraged, helping someone to have confidence in their faith. And sometimes that someone's going to be you, because you're here. So let us keep on meeting together to worship Jesus. very quickly as I finish, how are you going to respond to this sermon today, here and guys on the live stream or watching a recording? Four really quick suggestions. Number one, try to come more often to our services in person. Maybe come to a second service, to Lifetime. Verse 24, give more consideration to how you contribute to spurring on and encouraging others when you come to church and worship. If you're on live stream, come in person if you can. We would love to see you here again so you can encourage others and so that you can be encouraged by others as we worship together. And if you're here or you're on the live stream and you know people who have stopped coming, well, ask them back. Send them a link to this sermon, either the YouTube version or the sermon on the website when it's put on in a couple of days. Four things we could do. Amen.